after Iman, if Allah Ta'ala gives a person Iman, then the most important thing is the deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When an individual embarks on the deen and practices the deen and follows the deen totally in that way, in the way that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us the deen, and if a person doesn't bring about any shortfall in any in the practice of the deen, not even 1%, and he shouldn't imagine that the deen that has been established until Qiyamah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us by his beloved Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there can be no shortage compared to that deen that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, or no excess, no increase, no decrease. No event can change the deen, no thought can change the deen, no opinion can change the deen, no generation can change the deen. And this is proven that in that generation, in that climate, environment, wherever a person has iman, belief, then the next stage, the next step, what is his duty is to practice and implement the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, to practice this deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, then success will come by practicing the deen. And there are two types of success. One is the worldly success. One is the worldly success. And there is the worldly, where a person in the world is not successful. Now, the worldly success is temporary. Yes? If a person is unsuccessful in the world, it's temporary. If he's successful in the world, it's temporary. Dunya. But the hereafter, for the hereafter, success and non-success, this is forever and this is permanent. This is forever. This is not changeable. This cannot be modified at all. So we need to be very careful and cautious. Allah Ta'ala has given us Iman, and our second duty after bringing about Iman is to practice the deen. And there should not be a small atom's weight or size, atom size, or 1% or even a minute percent of change, increase or decrease in the deen. And nowadays we see that it's very few and far between are the people who are following the deen. Even the nafs and the desires and the shaitan, they say to us, and the conditions around us and the day and age and the that we are living in and the surroundings and issues that are around us. These, for example, take a person away from the deen. And today in this day and age, shaitan, he has a unique way of influencing people, and the nafs, the desires don't let us practice the deen. And why don't they let us come towards the deen? All of these things that we are discussing, my friends, is for this reason, so that we can reflect and analyze our lives and understand what is the reality and where we are going. And if Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq, the capability and ability to us, then we should accept our downfalls and sins and deficiencies. Now, when an individual does not correct his wrongs, he does not improve his wrongs, then he is the most foolish person. This we need to understand. So brothers, when we hear such words, we're sitting in a gathering, then totally we shouldn't sit down thinking that we've just come here to have a chat or to come here for reward or for some other reason. First and foremost, we should be grateful to Allah that, Allah, you have given us such words and such points and such learnings, that if we, this did not reach to our ears, then we would become the ashes in the hellfire, because we have not done anything good. Many actions in our lives, we think that something's necessary, something's not necessary, whatever we feel like we do, we act and practice in our own countries. When we go to another country, then we leave the deen and we change the deen according to the conditions and surroundings around us. Now we need to see that in this day and age, today in the so-called modern day and age, what is the attack of shaitan and nafs? Because nafs, the base desires, and shaitan, let's leave them. 99%, there are other reasons why we don't practice the deen. Not the nafs, not shaitan. And I can tell you some points that the pious predecessors have mentioned to us. There was an individual in the sort of desert surrounds. Yes, rural area. And there weren't no cars in them days. There were horses or camels. This was the mode of transportation in those days. So he had a horse and he was traveling on his horse, and his wife was with him, and he was going with his wife from one city or town to another town. So on the horse he was traveling with his wife, and he sat down himself. But before that, he put his wife onto the horse and he was walking himself. And as he was walking along, he met some people. They said, "Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam." And he saw that they're looking at each other and they're laughing, they're smiling at each other. And they were making fun of him. Ajib. What a man this is, that his wife is on the horse, the woman, and he's walking alongside the horse. Is he a man of wisdom? He's foolish. They started, he thought, oh, people are laughing at me, they're joking against me, what shall I do? So then he said to his wife, you come off the horse and let me sit down on the horse because people are making fun of me, they're mocking me. She said, okay, fine, no problem. She accepted what he's saying, what will people say? So then he sat on the horse and the wife started to walk alongside the horse and they carried on walking. Then he saw some other people laughing at him. He said, why are they laughing at me? Why are they making fun of me? And they started looking at him in a weird way and sniggering and mocking and laughing. He said, "What? Why are you laughing at me?" They said, Ajeeb insan you are, what a weird human being you are, that your wife is walking, struggling, and you're sat on the horseback. Don't you have any akal, you foolish person? He said, oh, that I don't know what people are thinking of me, I'm making another mistake. Then he said to his wife, oh, we made a mistake, so shall we not do that, both of us sit on the horse? And she said, yeah, that sounds good, that sounds sensible, to please the dunya, to please the dunya. So both of them then sat on the horse, then they carried on going along with the horse, and then they saw a third party of people laughing, saying, oh, he's foolish and mad, the horse is weak, and both individuals sat on the horse. Are you not ashamed? Look at your weight, and you're putting the weight on the back of the horse and giving it struggle, and that, for example, you're traveling and you're giving the horse hardship. They said, that's true what these people are saying. So what they said is, so both of them got off. Okay, they said, oh, what we'll do, both of us will walk alongside the horse and we'll just stroll along with the horse. And then what happened? They started walking, both of them, husband and wife, and the horse has got nothing on his back. And then they met a fourth party of people. They said, oh, have we seen people like this in the world, that they are the travelers and they're walking alongside the horse? So this is the reason today why we don't practice the deen. Oh, you keep the beard, don't you feel ashamed, you're not even married yet and you've got the full beard? Oh, what will people say? Then he shaves his beard. Oh, then he's getting married and he's saying, oh, do this, do that. Look in the world what people do. They're successful. Your uncle is going to come, your mamuji, chachuji. What are they going to say? The marriage should be like this. No, if there's no music, then how are we going to get married? How am I going to get married? It's so sad. What will the people in the world say? Tuck, we break the deen. We compromise with the deen. And we're at home, guests are coming. Yaar, it's necessary, we need to have guests are coming. If we don't have the music, we don't have the big speakers and the bass, they'll say, you don't have money, and put it on the wall, and put the speakers on the wall, and shaitan, he'll be here with us. And you don't have the desire yourself, but you're doing it for who? For the dunya. What will the people in the world say? What will the dunya say? Okay, so we do this as well, and we please the world. And I've given you the examples of pleasing the world through the example of the horse. The transportation with the horse. So what's your son doing? My son, he goes to madrasa. Oh, he'll go to madrasa. Oh, what a foolish person. Madman. He's in England and he's making his child a molana. Oh, then he takes his child out of the institution. Oh, send my daughter to university. The ladki, the girl, she should get study. She needs to earn as well, be professional and advanced. And what's this? Think yourselves. That five men, she brings to her home. The daughter that you sent out, why did you send her? You're not desiring this yourself. But what will the dunya say? And then in turn, she'll bring men folk home. My son, if he's not this, if he doesn't have this profession, you take him out of the hips class. Many people have taken the children out of deen education, Quran, hifz, studies. You see yourselves, myself, your father, he didn't read Quran and the internet. He's learned the internet, or he's made that son a doctor, an engineer, or taught them how to sit and browse on the internet. Temporary things we run after. Where's the happiness in? In Allah Ta'ala's rada. And how is Allah Ta'ala's pleased? Through the deen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So today, 99%, the reason, the proportion of the reason why we don't practice the deen, and we are becoming the ashes and the fuel of Jahannam. My friends, the reason why we don't practice the deen, without deen, there's no life. Life without deen is as if a person is in a sealed, locked room, and all four sides, there are scorpions and serpents and insects and spiders, and this is the life without deen. This is the sketch I've just drawn for you. A dark room sealed with insects, scorpions and serpents. And this is the life without deen. And 99% today, why we don't practice the deen, why our life is destroyed without the deen, is because we are worried about what will people say. And my neighbors are doing this, my friends are doing this. If I don't do this, what will they say? They'll laugh at me. He did this, I have to do this. Our whole life, body, halad, condition, surroundings. The reason why we don't practice it is not our nafs that's influencing. It's not shaitan. There's another rain and around our necks that has drawn upon us. And 99% in the world, the Muslimin, who are not practicing. If you ask him, why are you doing this, my friend? Yaar, what will people say if I don't practice this? Is this not the case? This is the case. From morning until evening, you'll be worried about people in the world. If I don't do this, what will he say? What will she say? If I wear dhoti, lungi, what will people say? I know it's sunnah, 70 times more extra reward, Allah is pleased. Nay, yaar, what will people say? We know imama is sunnah, and the extra reward. We know about the imama, Rasulullah SAW wore this. There's so much reward, there's so many hadith, and it doesn't matter. Rasulullah SAW preferred this libas. And why are we leaving this? Oh, what will people say? They laugh. What will my wife say? You have become like this. You're leaving the deen. We're leaving the sunnah, that life, those moments where we leave the deen and live our lives. I swear by Allah, that's a person standing in Jahannam and living his life. I swear by Allah, our eyes are closed. Our brains have been overwhelmed. Our zamir is sold. Our life is sold. That ummati who makes his life like this, about which Allah Ta'ala, Allah Kareem is praising his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Subhanallah, and he's swearing by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he swears by his life and by his city and by his hair, by the zuluf of Rasulullah, and Allah swears by the actions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today the ummah comes to this stage that imagine that life that we take out and we eradicate all of the sunnah practices from our life, and we think that those things that we like, the whole deen is present in that and is visible in that. No way. If you take one action, we think, oh no, success is in all of this, and if I do this and success will come, if I spend my night worshipping, if I commemorate the 15th night of this, 15th night of Shaban, or the whole ummah is running after the culture and traditions, and with every breath shaitan has made us practice one deed, and we think that we will get successful with this. Oh, servants of Allah, we will have to repay every second. We'll have to account for every second. Allah will ask us a question. Allah will ask us a simple, straightforward question. That deen, the parts of the deen I gave to you, Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul. Allah will ask us that which seconds and moments and hours and lifestyle and words of your life did you emulate and practice and imitate the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Give me this answer, Allah will ask us. Give me this answer. Allah will say, which life, which second of your life was passed practicing the lifestyle of the Prophet? Allah Ta'ala doesn't want us to make one action or one tradition, the deen. Allah has given us the whole deen, 24/7, 365 days a year. Collective whole lifestyle, according to the Holy Prophet. And this is a hadith that the khair, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khair. Hadith Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to save ourselves from this disease, if we want to practice deen, and if we are prey already to this disease mindset today, what will the dunya say? We've destroyed our children, their lifestyles, our own lifestyles, and our lives, and we've jumped into Jahannam. Well, and some people say, oh, do this and that. Practice deen and dunya. Practice 50% and leave 50%. What ajeeb mindset is this? What ajeeb ideology is this? That we want deen and dunya. We want success, deen, the world and the deen. No way. That we cannot put one dharra, one atom's weight of addition to the deen, and we cannot eliminate one atom's weight from the deen. Show me one proof, one delil where Rasulullah said, take deen out and bring dunya. No. This is opposite. There's clash. Deen and dunya is a clash. Remember this. Yes, that mu'min who has iman and has recited the iman, and he doesn't have yaqeen that Allah, I will become deen dar, that if I practice the deen and I won't get rizq, then what kind of mu'min is that person? He cannot rise as a person of iman. A person who doesn't have yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala is in control, he is the supreme controller, that rizq, Allah Ta'ala has guaranteed our rizq via practicing the deen. This is a hadith. I'll tell you the hadith. That all of the goodness, Allah give me the deen of your deen of Islam, because the whole of the protection of the dunya is present when a practice is the deen. Is that deen in our lives? We don't know about that deen. We don't know about children. We don't bring deen into the lives of our children. Even if we bring the children to deen, even by difficulty, 5 or 6 years our children study in the course, then during that course, we are worried that bring him into the dunya, he needs to earn, have maal and wealth. All of the studies within a few years, he is thrown into such an environment that morning and night he's doing zin of the eyes, zin of the batin, the whole deen, it's wiped away because he needs to earn money. What money is that child going to earn? Come, I'll give you such examples in the dunya. The person who's taken over the practice and the path of Allah, Subhanallah, they are so great lifestyles they are living. If you ask them, that they will say that we have all of the ease and the comforts of the dunya. We are alive. We have no need to run after anything in the dunya. We have so much ease due to the deen that we are practicing. And this is the fikr that we have. And what is this? This is the fikr of the deen that we should have. But we are running after the games of the life. If my child doesn't get earned in the world, I just made him a mulana for nothing and a hafiz. Really, I have to send him into the world to succeed monetarily, financially. Then you should have done this before. You've done a big dhulam and oppression that you've sent your child to study years of deen, hadith, Quran, and you're taking him out of Jannah and throwing him into Jannah. Where's the Quran of that child? Where's the Quran of your daughter? Where's the Bukhari of that daughter? Where's the hadith that your child recited and your son recited? Where have they gone? The hadith and the haya and the modesty. This is something we need to think about. That despite all of that disobedience, we are getting rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the statement of the pious predecessor. Our hal is such, what should have occurred, that the earth should have split asunder and we should have been buried in the cracks rather than running to the sins. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahim, Kareem, merciful, blessings. Every morning Allah calls out in the third part of the night, is there anybody who wants to get forgiveness from me? Is there anybody who wants to do tawbah and ask me for forgiveness and repentance? But the sins have surrounded us and stuck to us. We don't try to eradicate those sins. Allah is calling us every day from Fajr until evening. Oh, come my servants, because you are the ummati of my Habib. You recited my kalima. If I want to, I can grab you. Allah says, my adab is so strong and so firm and severe. Allah says, I've mentioned in the Quran about my punishments when I want. Allah says, then I can lift up the earth and the angels lift the earth on the wings and they toss it down, upside down. Tell me the hal of that earth where the angels bring up the crust of the earth and flip it and toss it down hard onto the ground. And Allah's mentioned these events in the Quran, those who disobeyed. So my brothers, these majalis gatherings, me and you sitting down, this is not a game. This is not a drama. This is not here for waste of time. We are bone idle, lanat on those gatherings where we don't have fikr of our lives and our akhirah and the hereafter. And we're just here for thawab. We are grateful, grateful, grateful. Shukr, shukr, shukr to Allah. Allah shukr that from the dust on the heels of the shoes of the pious predecessors, that sitting here in such an environment, we are speaking about such great points. And today we are listening. Then inshallah tomorrow Allah will make us do amal. Otherwise, why would He make us listen? Allah is making a fikr, a worry, arousing in our hearts and minds. The whole world, people will be listening with the fadl of Allah. In the whole world, people are listening at the same time. In such cities, such localities, far corners of the world. In Africa, in the villages of Africa, my words will be going. And people don't even know the name of who's speaking. It's not my kamal. It's not my achievement. But I know one thing that Allah Ta'ala says, Allah has promised that this ummah of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, I want to make them forgiven. So I want to spread the message to the corners of the world. Wallahi, when I finish this discussion, then go and see that in such corners of the world, the message comes, Hazrat, we want to do tawbah. Today we heard your bayan. Please teach us dhikr. And today we want to do tawbah. We want to repent from God. It's from 2 a.m. until 2 a.m. this continues. I say that, listen, I'm speaking here in Bolton. What is this masjid? Masjid al-Taqwa. In Bolton, only a few men were sitting in front of me. And in Africa, a woman, poor soul, she's saying, I want to do tawbah. The five children, she says, me and my five children want to do tawbah. Imagine this. And they say, we promise, inshallah, that we'll go to Tabligh Jamaat. We'll go to Tabligh Jamaat and we'll give tarbiyah to our children. Yani, subhanallah, what a great, great lesson. So brothers, we shouldn't lose hope. We shouldn't lack hope. We should promise today. We don't want to be those who are on the horse, who came off the horse and listened to the people. There's one wahid cure. That if you want to be saved from the mocking of the world, for example, if you want to embark on the journey of success, then what do we need to see? Khairi hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My aqa, my holy, my master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say? What's the sunnah action with regards to this action? And we don't worry about what people say and laugh. Doesn't matter what the dunya says, up and down. We have no fikr, no worry. Let them laugh, mock, jest. Why? Because we have learned the sunnah tariq of the Rasulullah sallam. We've taken all of his path. About which khair hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best path, the greatest path. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until qiyamah. What will save you from dajjal? What will save you from big destruction and calamities and problems? Remember, because the day and age we're living is the fazad. Calamities, destruction, fitna, and lots of evil forces. Nothing will save us. Quran was changed. Today people say, oh, the Quran is it even complete? So, is there not a group of people? They said that the goat consumed the pages of the Quran or a camel. No. But Rasulullah says, nobody can say that this is not sunnah. Subhanallah. Nobody can reject it. They can try, but they can never reject it. 124,000 companions, noble companions, radiallahu anhum, they prove from their practice the sunnah of the Prophet. Why? The whole Quran is established based on what? On one element, one factor, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran is established on the Quran. The verse cannot be changed. The verse, every verse of the Quran is a witness to the sunnah. The four a'imma mujtahideen, the four imams who wrote books upon volumes of fiqh, jurisprudence, as proof of the Quran and the sunnah. Sahih Bukhari, what is it? What is Muwatta Imam Malik? What is Sahih Muslim? Ibn Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud. These are all proofs of the Sunnah Sharifa. The Kitab Nikah, Kitab Salah, different kitabs, different chapters are all proofs of the Sunnah. So why there's one way, one method to success? And we think, what shall I do? Shall I keep the beard or not keep the beard? Then think, what was the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Straightforward. If you want to come into the path of the Deen, why? Because what will the world say? What will this man say? What will people say? So what do we need to do to be saved? What practice do we need to embark on? What method do we need to follow? The method of the Deen. Practice of the deen. So I have to ask myself a question. If I want to practice deen, this man saying this, this woman saying this, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about this practice? What was the practice of the Holy Prophet? Pick up Sahih Bukhari. In Sahih Bukhari states, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, keep the beard, lengthen the beard. And 124,000 sahaba, they kept the beard, the anbiya, the prophets, they kept the beards. This is proof, the lead. So if people say, no, don't keep it. Say, stop, I've got the proof. The Holy Prophet, the Nabi al-Kareem, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, and all of you are dajjal who are trying to distract me from this one. I will pass away, but I will not leave the practice of this practice. And if I make niyyah, then straight away Allah's rahmah and mercy will come. Straight away it will come. From all four corners, the angels will surround me. Is there any man who can dare to pester this man and take him off the path, the track of the deen? Try to pester him. Try to distract him. We'll see who tries to distract him and spoil him. We'll protect him. They'll say, oh, if you keep the beard, the world will leave you. People won't accept you. Come, I will leave those people who are against the sunnah. But Allah Ta'ala said, I'll give you better friends over and above that. I'll give you good relatives over and above that. I will compensate you. We leave relatives. Why? No, the dunya will laugh. The girl, she will not marry me. She will not accept. She keeps the parda. And she doesn't know how to work. She hasn't got profession. She's got no ta'lim. No. I will not take this girl as her hand in marriage. And even if she's got Quran in her heart, she does parda, observes parda. She's got tafsir in her Quran. But no. We don't want this partner. As a life partner. No, I need a modern girl as my wife, and I want her to go out into the dunya. I want her to be educated to this level. Imagine about ilm, we look down on Quranic ilm, hadith ilm, ilmiyad. Allah says, if you stay steadfast on the deen, I'll give you such a rishta, such a partner that the world, they will be envious of you. That person who's scared of the world, then he's the man who's gone onto the horse. He'll pass away, but he will never be able to please the world. So my brothers, I should take all of this point, you should take this point, that we're going to practice the deen, because without deen life is destroyed. And by practicing the deen today, the fitna, the biggest fitna is what? When we practice the deen, dunya. What will the dunya say? To reject this, to eliminate this, what is the biggest point? To practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. Easy, straightforward. No other way. In this is marriage, eating, relatives, and how to conduct yourselves in the world, social, etc. How is this? Oh, now I've made a rishta. I need this tradition in my marriage. I need to follow this custom tradition. Stop. I'll do everything. But first I need to say, what did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? This is Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You cannot reject. Okay, fine. Look at the sunnah. And this, look at the proofs, the hadith, kitabs, ulama, scholars, muftis, sheikhs. They are all there to present the sunnah method of getting married. So we have to say and ask ourselves, what is the sunnah way of then the haqq alim? The true alim, mashallah, he will say that this is the sunnah tariqah, this is the sunnah method to get married, these are the sunnah customs. You say, okay, that's it. You can do what you want, my friends and family and people in the world. Khair al-hadiyah, hadiyah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best way is the way of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Nabi, when Allah's Rasul, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you follow his way, the best business will be his business. The best marriage will be the marriage according to his marriage custom. And the best business will be the business that is done according to the sunnah and sharia. Isn't this right, my friends? May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.